Welcome to the Spirituality What? Podcast, where we explore the mysteries, joys, and challenges of being spiritual beings navigating our unpredictable human experience we call life here on planet Earth. I'm your friendly guide, Rebecca, ready to jump into our adventure of the day. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Spirituality What? Podcast. Welcome back to this week and to our Spiritual Bodies episode with Iris. We're going to continue that episode. And last week we talked a little bit about the work hard, play hard mentality. And this week we are going to talk about the play hard, work hard mentality. We're going to talk about doing exercises that we actually enjoy and to connect and honor our bodies. So like intentional exercise. We're going to get into a little bit of a conversation about I feel and I think in English and the interplay and interchange of those words, specifically in English. The sway muscle test and other options for muscle testing. If you remember, we spoke about muscle testing in the energetic kinesiology episode. And we're going to talk a little bit about subconscious versus physical intuition and energetic intuition and sort of the body signals and the heart signals that we get when we talk about those types of intuition, the alpha brain state of growing up and living in and finding the gratitude energy and gratitude in your body. So gratitude practice, but what it also looks like to have gratitude for your physical form. And actually, Iris inspired me to release some new merch. So I've put together a couple of spiritual as fuck and spiritual gangsta journals, which you could use for gratitude practice or anything else. They are lined, and I've only got a couple of the logos and colors up there, but if y'all are interested in more or different colors or different combinations, just shoot me an email, hit me up on Instagram, and let me know. And with that, we're going to jump into the episode for today.
What is resting?
Feel guilty when doing something that really nourishes my body and my soul. You know, again, back to the frequency. You know, like I remember having a conversation with a woman. She said, "Oh yeah, I do self care. I go to yoga. You know, 3 times a week. But going to yoga is an actual chore. Yeah. Or for me, taking the dog to the beach is an actual chore rather than I am worthy of having this time out where I just nurture my life and I nurture my body and I nurture my soul. And I've completely lost where I started.
No, that happens. That happens sometimes, actually.
That's right, yeah.
I usually get enthralled and then I'm like, I don't remember where we started.
We started with, you know, why do we actually choose to not listen to our bodies at that point? And it's because of that conditioning, you know, like if we can go, oh, my body, okay, I'm just going to leave that. And go. It's such a small thing, but the significance is massive in terms of where we're at with our own worth.
Yeah. Well, and then it's also, as you said, like culturally rewarded. So if you pushed through, for example, I'm using air quotes here too, but if you pushed through, you know, a big project or something in school or, you know, stayed up till 2 a.m. or whatever, and you got a good grade, you're rewarded for the behavior, not just for the outcome, but also, you know, we're just learning. So we make this association with, oh, okay, well, when I do that kind of work and I can do, you know, I can do that because now I've shown myself that I can, I get rewarded for it externally, as you mentioned, which I think is a really key, really key point, which is like this subjective, temporary external validation. Like it's like the worst kind of validation there possibly even is. And then we keep trying to get more.
Yeah. That's like a lollipop worse than getting an actual meal, isn't it? Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely. It's just, so it's definitely kind of an interesting thing. And this being able to listen. So it's interesting that this, I thought about this when I read your book too, which is like my husband comes from a like play hard, work hard upbringing. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of interpretation of his upbringing as well. And it's, we're opposite in that way. And so it's been a very interesting like learning, you know, situation because I literally, this is, I'm going to, you know, admit this as just being a human being who grows and learns things. But sometimes I literally am like, damn you for taking a nap. Like, we have a lot of shit to do, right? And then, of course, now I'm like, bad Rebecca. Like, don't say that. That's like, he's doing good. He's prioritizing himself. He needs a nap. He's going to be way better. We're going to be more productive after, you know, it's like, but I would say, like, when we first started dating, I don't know if I'd ever been able to say that. But now I'm kind of in this space where I'm not yet there, where I'm like, you know, I just should take a nap. But I'm able to at least recognize and say, like, you know, don't shame other people for doing that. Don't blame other people. Don't guilt other people. Like, even in my own head, right? Of course, I don't say those things to him. But even in my head and the energy that I'm producing is, you know, and I'm like, no, don't do that. Like, he deserves to take care of himself. And I think that's the thing when you talk about like the yoga is there's like exercise, which is physically good for your body. But is it really good for you? Like, what are your thoughts about exercise when you don't like it?
Yeah,
is it that's really a really good point. For you?
That's if you do exercise that you don't actually enjoy, it's a very mechanical, it's 3D kind of way of, and it comes with resentment then. I've got to do this exercise because my body needs it, right? So we're back to disconnection from our bodies again. Funny little story, I just digress. I remember I'd been in practice, a chiropractic practice for about 6 months, and this person came in and his body felt so different from the last time I saw him. I was like, what have you done? Like, this is incredible. Huh. This is a massive result in just one visit. He goes, oh, I just did the exercises you told me. And then I realized that everybody else prior to that had been lying to me about doing their exercises, right?
Yep.
So at that point, I changed my approach and would only give exercises to people actually ask me for it, right? Because otherwise they have to lie to me about having doing their exercises, and I don't want my patients lying to me, right?
Yeah.
Now people say, you know, oh, should I be, you know, it's a big conversation, but basically what I tell them is, do an exercise that you actually enjoy, right? Because if you don't enjoy it, it's not going to be sustainable. Like, you know, you do it for 3 days and you find reasons not to do it. Mm-hmm. So do something that makes you feel good. And like, you know, lots of things are exercise that you don't think of, you know, like it could be dancing, you know, yep. Dancing's your thing, you know, put some music on and hop around your lounge room and then just have a really good time. Like, that's actually a brilliant way of exercising and creating joy all at the same time, you know, yeah. Or whatever your thing is, like don't make it a chore. And then sometimes, like, you think if you're not used to exercising at all, then, you know, you actually probably need to just start somewhere, just do a little something. But don't do something just because, you know, like if walking's your thing, then try something else. Like, just keep trying little things. And there will be something that you do that makes your body feel really good afterwards. So when you first start, you might actually need to get to that point of, oh, wow, I've just gone for a walk. My body actually feels really good right now, you know, and then really feeling that and going, okay, well, if my body feels this good right now and I've got energy for the rest of the day, because I've done this movement now, and like walking is a great exercise. Actually, it really switches on the brain in ways that, you know, are really helpful to focus and thinking and all sorts of. We're designed to walk, yeah. So if we can, you know, just do a little bit, and then over a period of time, it will become easier and easier because, well, A, you're actually connecting to your body, you're feeling your body, and you can understand the signal it gives you when it needs to move, and we need to, you know, like light our pathways up to our brain again. Like, I think it's 95% of the information that comes to our brain comes from our musculoskeletal systems, our muscles, our joints, our ligaments, our bones, you know, and two things that nerves need to thrive. One is food and the other one is input, yeah? So if you're sitting for 10 hours a day, like you mentioned before, that's a whole lot of input the brain is not getting. So, of course, it's going to feel sluggish. You know, of course, it's going to, in your body.
Yeah.
If it's about exercise, find something that you really enjoy, something where you walk away and you're like, that feels really yummy in my body right now, you know, because it's got to be sustainable. And I'll just insert here, like last night, I could do yoga most days. And then last night, I really didn't feel like it, but I still did it. Because there's also then an aspect of practice in terms of, okay, I'm going to do this and I don't feel like doing it right now in my mind, but I'm going to do this right now because I really want to say thank you to my body for getting, for, you know, what it's been doing today. And, you know, like after a day of work, like, of course it deserves something that's purely for its own pleasure, you know? So, you know, and that's part of the human journey, you know, sometimes we resist what's good for us. I mean, who hasn't done that at some point or other, you know, probably many times on a daily basis, in fact, but it's again, it's back to worth. I really value my body. It's this incredible vehicle that allows me to have this human being experience. And I'm going to choose to do something that I know it will benefit from, even if my mind at the time goes, I'd really rather lounge out in front of the TV, you know?
Well, and I think that, I just wrote this down, that's a really interesting point, because what you verbally said was, I don't feel like doing this. But what I think, what I think you meant was, I don't want to do this. Yeah, like I think... It's the words think and feel, there's a lot around there, but when we say I don't feel like doing something, I wonder now, how often are we actually in tune with what our body feels like? Or is it really, we just don't want to do, like we think in our brain, I think I don't want to do that, instead of I feel like I don't want to do that. Like, I'm just now, you know, I'm like spiraling, like how many times do I say I feel like I don't want to, or I feel something when I don't actually feel it?
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, that's one thing about language, right? Like in English, you can say I feel, and it actually means the same thing as I think, right? Whereas in Danish or German or Spanish, which are the other languages that, you know, it's like, oh, I think. There isn't the equivalent of, oh, I feel. And I remember finding that really strange when I learned English as a 12-year-old, that you could say I feel and it meant the same thing as I think.
Yeah.
So I wonder if there's a language confusion there that actually helps disconnect. You know, we think we feel something, but we're actually not feeling it, right? Which is what you're saying.
I bet you're right, because there are, like, you know, culturally differences that are like sometimes I think it's because perpetuated potentially because of language, you know, the way you say things and how things associate to you as the sayer. It's very different with different languages. Yeah. I think it's just very interesting, especially when you do like those personality tests where it's like you're more thinking or you're more feeling and kind of back to the exercise I took. So Iris has a like little quiz that you can take online to kind of be like how disconnected are you? You know, it's very interesting. And the exercise thing was interesting because really I think one of the answers was like, exercise, what's that? And that was the one that I clicked. Not because I don't know what exercise is, of course, but because I don't like exercising. I don't get a lot of joy out of it. Of course, I have a girlfriend who likes to go to the gym. I like to spend time with her and I don't really care what we do. And we're not running 25,000 miles when we're going to the gym. You know, we're doing, it's fun. It's whatever workout she wants to do. And I get a ton of joy out of that because I'm with her and I'm having fun and we're connecting, but I don't go to the gym. I do other things. I have dogs. I walk dogs, you know? And so, but when you were just talking just now, I was like, I do have one exercise that like really lights me up, but I never do it. Mm-hmm. Which is dancing, actually. I took my husband on a dance class for, I think, Valentine's Day this year. And literally at the end of the class, he's like, I have not seen you smile this much in a really long time. And I'm a smiler. Like I smile. I just smile a lot. I'm a happy person. And I was like, you're right. Like I forgot how much I love dancing. But it doesn't feel like exercise when it's like that.
Oh, yes. So we're not punishing ourselves hard enough when we go dancing, right?
Darn.
And I'm just laughing because, like, I could have said what you just said, literally. You know, like, I love dancing too. And, like, every so often I'll set an intention, okay, I'm going to dance for at least 5 minutes every day or something. And it doesn't happen. And I think it's for exactly that reason. It's almost like I feel, you know, there's a sense of guilt or a sense of, I'm not working hard enough, or like that cultural conditioning is like, you know, like dancing is so, you know, some people don't like it, but like for those of us who do, it's so joyful. Like why would you deprive yourself of that bit of joy? It's I totally echo what you're saying.
And when it can only take like 5 minutes. Like, you just give a great example, which is like, and you said this at the, like, earlier too, when you were like starting our day with joy, like maybe that's just prioritizing the right cup of coffee or the right kind of tea, and, you know, not buying the kind that you don't like and only buying the kind you like, and, you know, or sleeping in a little bit longer. And yes, of course, there are responsibilities and things like that. So you know, you have to like pick the right thing, but that sounds like a great way to start the day. 5 minutes of joy.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
Like, can you imagine how successful we might be the rest of the day if we actually did
that? Wow. And if you do 5 more minutes at lunchtime?
Yeah, like in the middle of the day. I know. I'm sitting at my office desk. I've been, you know, I worked full day. We're doing the podcast. I'm like, ooh, I've been sitting for like a really long time. Like, when you talk about the input too of like just how that, like the impact of that after the sitting, like not just in the sitting, but like the lethargy and the fatigue and all of that. It's just, it's, we are beings and bodies. I mean, there is just like, there's nothing other than that. I wanted to talk a little bit about, well, there's two other things. We might not have time, but I wanted to go back to the applied kinesiology a little bit, because we're in this part of the conversation. We're talking about signals to yourself, connection to yourself. We have talked about muscle testing specifically in an energetic kinesiology session, which we did, which was really interesting. We talked about how people can muscle test themselves. And I think that is a tool as well, where if you're like, I don't know what this signal is. I mean, yawns and muscle, you know, muscle stretching and stuff's a little bit more obvious, but like if you're getting a signal that you don't know, you can potentially on your own use muscle testing to try to kind of help you figure out what's going on. Do you also agree like that kind of works to connect us?
Yes, it does. Yes, absolutely. And I don't know, did that other person talk about how you do that? How you can do that?
We did, like, we didn't really get into it. I posted like a video link. I think we might have talked a little bit about the sway test. I think that's what I use personally. I think it's the easiest to connect into.
That is the most probably reliable. The easiest.
Yeah.
I don't know about reliable. I think it's like, it is a matter of practice as well. But like, what's good about it is that you're literally learning how to listen to your body. Like, am I swaying forwards or backwards? Like, you really have to actually pay attention to your body. So then it becomes a virtuous circle of paying attention and going, oh, okay, I'm feeling that thing now. What does that mean? And I'm going to check in. And yeah, so that's a really good practice. Just for the people who haven't listened to the other episode, the sway test is basically you stand up straight and then you have a question in your mind, and then, you know, if you sway forwards, you know, your body is going towards that option, so it's a yes. And if you sway backwards, it's a no. Like, there are other ways you can do it. You can muscle test your own fingers, or you can I actually think of a pendulum. You know, people use a pendulum.
You're right.
Is actually the same thing as well, because like the pendulum doesn't just move it's micro tiny little movements in the fingers that create that movement, but obviously it's too small for you to actually generate that consciously. And like, you know, pendulums are amazing how much they swing. Sometimes you go, how's that happening? My hand is perfectly still. But again, it's a way of interacting with your body, or the subconscious mind runs the body. So you can talk to your subconscious mind via your body by using a pendulum, and basically that's muscle testing in a different guise. So, you know, like it's a matter of literally just practice. Like, I remember when I first started doing applied kinesiology, you know, sometimes, you know, you miss stuff because you're still a learner. But, you know, now I can go, okay, now that would be strong, but I can tell it's not quite oomphy enough. You know, like I can tell the shades of gray because I've been doing it for so long, and then I can go and find, and then it does get strong, you know. So
yeah,
so just trying to think if there are other ways that are easy to do.
I feel like the sway test, you're right, I saw a video about pendulums. I'd never seen that one before, but that seems like really, really good as well, especially because of what you say, like you don't feel like you're doing anything, you know. And I think for me the finger one's a little hard because I can't tell sometimes. I feel like I have to ask the same question like 6 times because I'm like, I feel like I'm doing something, but I'm not really sure.
Well, the other thing you can do then is set a really strong intention. So the finger test is you put an index finger and a thumb together, and then you hook the other index in, And then basically, you know, if it's a yes, the circle stays strong. And if it's a no, your finger slips out. So, and again, it's a practice thing. So the more confident you are, the better it's going to work, basically. So, you know, but like use whatever tool is easy. You know, like if in some situations using the finger one might be easier than doing the sway test because you're standing up or whatever.
Yeah, I've muscle tested on planes and in cars before where I can't stand up. So I'm like, I'll use the finger one right now because it's, you know,
got going on
in my environment. So maybe a quick question. So what about intuition? If we're talking about muscle testing, which can kind of, I think it's very like obvious, but I think it could be kind of on the side of woo-woo for some people. Like, is your subconscious your intuition? Are those different things?
I think there are different types of intuition.
Okay.
So one of the, it's a broad term. So one thing is a signal that our body sends us. And that's what we've been talking about in terms of, you know, like sensations that are physical and happen in the body that mean something. And that can be as something as obvious as pain or something as not obvious as like a little tickle down your spine or something like that. I'm actually crossing boundaries here. Okay, so they're the signals that your body sends you. Now, your body is interested in thriving and you know, feeling good and well. For example, hunger or thirst actually is a really good example, right? A lot of the time, thirst is a really easy signal to ignore. Yeah, like if you're busy focusing on something else, you will not even notice you're thirsty, and then you might finish focus on that and go, oh, I feel a sensation, I'm going to eat something, because you actually mistake it for hunger. So if you're in that space, you know, drink water before you eat something, because you might just find that that's actually what your body is asking you for. And then you will learn to understand thirst better and better. Now, the body is designed to keep, like this, that's part of the subconscious, is designed to keep us safe. So if we have been brought up in a way where, you know, that look means trouble or danger of some kind, then our physicality is going to react to that look as if it's a threat, and we're going to go into fight or flight, basically. Now, that look from that new person as opposed to from that old person might not mean danger. So our bodies are going to keep reacting in the old way unless or until we integrate that part and we know, okay, well, that was specific to that situation. That's no longer current. And this look from this person means something completely different. So that's kind of the physicality side of things. So I think sometimes our physicality, our body's intuition, as it were, can lead us astray in that kind of situation where we've been taught something, because we've been like, when we arrive on planet Earth, like both in the womb and certainly up until the year of 7 and up to a point to 14, we're in this alpha brainwave, so slightly hypnotic state. So we just take everything we see at face value and we say, this means that, you know, daddy's never at home, that means he doesn't love me. Yes. Not daddy's never at home because he's working, and he works so hard so he can provide for us, and that's how he shows love. Like, you, when you're little, you just don't get that. It's just, oh, daddy doesn't want to spend time with me, I must be bad or whatever.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Then there's the other aspect to intuition, which is energetic, right? Which is, okay, I'm getting that look from that person, but what is the actual energy coming off that person? Is that energy one of, I'm angry at you, or I am, you know, you're going to wear whatever happened to me in the pub or whatever? Or is that energy one of, like, if it's that look, it's probably on tie right now, you know, look, I haven't got the bandwidth to deal with that right now.
It's on top of, it's in addition, intuition is kind of like in addition to, to just the signals from the subconscious.
Yeah. Or what I was talking about before, and it's just kind of the same thing in reverse. For example, you ask somebody for a favor. Let's say, oh, can you make me a cup of tea, please? You know, and that person is angry and tired and has to make this cup of tea for some reason, can't say no, whatever it is, and you get this cup of tea. The energy with which they give you this cup of tea is going to be very different from somebody who goes, I can see you're really tired. I'd like you to just sit down, put your feet up, have a rest. I'm going to make you this cup of tea. And this cup of tea is just going to restore you to feeling wonderful, like the energy that you're going to get with that cup of tea is going to be very different. Yeah. So like that's the tricky part with that aspect of intuition of the energy, because it can look exactly the same, but it feels completely different.
Yeah.
And the part that can do the feeling is the heart. Yeah. Ideally a heart that isn't, hasn't got layers of defense in it, because it's been taught that it's not safe to be feeling things, which is where that body thing came in that I was talking about just then. So to me, there's two separate parts of intuition. Now the confusing thing other than that is too, is that the energetic intuition also feels like things in your body potentially. Some people feel it just outside of their bodies. Like I think I'm a bit lucky because I feel it just on the surface or just within 10 centimeters of my body. But some people actually feel it inside of their bodies. And then it can be confusing. Okay, is this a body signal? Is this an intuition signal, like an energetic intuition signal?
Yeah.
So that takes a little bit more practice to unpick, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say one of those people that I mostly feel it in my body. There's a couple of very specific cases that I get this like really weird tightness in my stomach, like in like not on top, you know, not around, but it's like inside. And I'm like, what is this feeling? Like it's not from me, right? It's from something else that's kind of coming in, but it's really kind of very interesting. Very cool. Well, the time has flown, absolutely. And we are to the last couple of questions. So we'll go with the last kind of interview question and then a little bit of kind of admin. So the last question is, what's one tip about living as a spiritual being in this human existence that you would like to share with the audience?
I'm actually really proud of myself because I haven't mentioned this one specifically before in the entire hour. This is usually my lead-in. For me, the single biggest thing to live spiritually is gratitude. Gratitude is a really beautiful energy. And I'm not talking about thank you. I'm talking about actually feeling your blessings. You're doing gratitude right if you get welling up and getting tears in your eyes. Like that's ultimately the be all and end all in terms of gratitude. And okay, so it doesn't have to be that big every time, but that's the sensation that you know you are looking for in your body. Gratitude is magical because the more you practice it, the more things you can be grateful for, the more things come into your life that get bigger and bigger that you can be grateful for. So when I first moved to Australia, I was in a really bad relationship, and I was, you know, getting gratitude or joy from watching little birds eat bread that I'd given to them. Like it was literally down to something as small as that. And then when I was 33, I decided, okay, I'm going to actually practice gratitude now. So that literally means, again, intention, focus. What you focus on grows. So focus on the things that you have to be grateful for. And like most of the people who listen to this podcast have a ton of things to be grateful for. Like if you have regular meals, if you have a safe place to sleep, if you have somebody who cares about you, if you have a roof over your head, if you're not in a war zone, you are streets ahead of the, you know, a very large part of the population on planet Earth, right?
Right.
You've got your basics covered. You have the ability to have a device that you can listen to this kind of podcast. You have the ability to understand what's being said. I mean, that's incredible, right? Like you could have no hearing, for example, right?
Yep, absolutely.
If you have a body that's essentially healthy, I mean, that is such a blessing. So, you know, and the thing with this practice or most practices really is it doesn't matter what it is you feel grateful for. If it's a tiny little thing like, oh, my hands know how to cook a meal, you know, actually that's a big thing. I was going to say my body knows how to breathe without me having to direct it. That's a big thing too. Anyway, so, but if you can find just a little thing like a sparrow eating your breadcrumbs and you can be grateful for that, then you're embodying gratitude. You know, like it doesn't require a massive big thing for you to actually embody gratitude. And like I said, the more you practice gratitude, the more things you look to be grateful for, the more you will have to be grateful for. The other good thing about gratitude these days, because I actually made it a conscious practice at 33, like I said, the other thing that's really good about practicing gratitude is that you can when the going gets tough and things are hard and, you know, like you're just feeling awful, literally feeling awful and thinking awful in all sorts of ways, I've done this long enough now to know that what's happening right now is actually a metamorphosis. I know I'm going to come out of this situation feeling brighter, feeling more expanded, feeling better about myself, feeling more of my worth, feeling more capacity to love, feeling more me. Like what I'm doing right now is integrating a part of me that I have disowned at some point. And in order to do that, I need to feel these things that have been sitting on the shelf waiting for this moment to be felt and let go. So while it's feeling shitty, I actually am able to have gratitude for who I'm going to be as a result of this. And that makes the process so much easier, you know, because I know I'm not going to be stuck here forever. I know I've done gratitude long enough. So I'm going to lift myself out of this. And the other thing about gratitude is if you feel gratitude regularly is you are actually abundant just because you feel this gratitude. So you can actually approach the world with abundance and then that will mirror itself in your relationships and in your bank accounts.
Absolutely.
So for me, the single, you know, if you take nothing else away from this podcast, take away gratitude, you know, like, and I would personally say gratitude for your body, you know, your feet for walking, your eyes for seeing, your ears for hearing, your mouth for tasting or kissing, you know, your hands for being able to do all the incredibly clever things that they can do. Even if you don't do anything much, like, you know, you can dress yourself, you know.
So
all these things that we totally take for granted, they're miraculous. And like one of my favorite Einstein quotes is, you can live as if everything is a miracle, as if nothing is. You know, if you just take a step back and see, I can do these things. I mean, that's phenomenal, right?
Yep.
So yeah, gratitude.
Absolutely. Yes, I love that. I mean, I have a gratitude practice. Just the other day I had like in my gratitude journal, my dog has these big jowls and when he lays his head down on things, sometimes his jowls like spread out and I call him like platypus face. Like it's so flat and hilarious looking. And so I have written in my gratitude journal, like I'm happy for my dog's platypus face because it like it makes me smile. It brings me so much joy looking how cute he is, you know, so there's like a lot going on there. But it is the little things sometimes. Well, wonderful. Iris, this has been great. So how should somebody, if somebody were interested in getting in contact with you, sort of what's your website, your handle, what's the best way to kind of get in contact with you?
The best way is probably the website, which is just irisangeles.com. And there is a way of getting in touch with me there. Like there's a subscribe to the newsletter. So I do irregular newsletters, like not, you know, 5 times a day or anything like that. Or like once or twice a month at most. I have a YouTube channel that's jam-packed full of readings and podcasts and meditations and poems. And like I really love my YouTube channel because there's a lot of good stuff on that. So obviously you can comment and that'll come through. My email address is just iris.angeles@gmail.com and feel free to email me if you have any questions or anything that's come up. I'm also on Facebook, but I'm also on Instagram, but
not quite as much,
probably a YouTube channel. It's going to have the most juicy bits in it.
Awesome. Yes. We'll include the links to all of those in the show notes as well. And so, Iris, this has been wonderful. I just wanted to say thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed your questions. You've made me think on more than one occasion for this. That's really cool. That's how I get new material. thank you for your light and thank you for what you do in the world. Like it makes a massive difference to a lot of people. So keep shining, beautiful.
That's a wrap, everybody. Thank you so much for joining Iris and I on this two-part episode about spiritual beings, spiritual bodies, human beings, human plane. Really great stuff. If you ever have any questions or need anything, don't hesitate to reach out on Instagram at spirituality.what or shoot me an email, spirituality.what@gmail.com. We will catch you next week. Thank you for joining me on today's Spirituality What? Adventure. Subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast. Visit us on Instagram at spirituality.what to interact, tell us what spirituality means to you, and even provide some of your own personal musings. Human on, you phenomenal spiritual beings.